What is up, guys? Welcome to Close Monday. My name is Kyle and Sarah, and this is the show for restaurant owners, for chefs, for culinary students, for startup restaurants, anyone brave enough to take on the challenge of running a restaurant and the pursuit of being what we like to call a restaurant entrepreneur. This is your absolute lifeline, your go-to for real-world, no-nonsense, in-depth chats and war stories from people who have been in your shoes. Now, you're all on the same quest here, looking for that perfect solution, that perfect piece of technology that's going to streamline your operations, the killer marketing strategy, the new social media platform that's going to put your restaurant on the map, the rock-solid suppliers who've always got your back. But let's not be naive, there's a lot more to this. Most importantly, things like capital raising, making sense of insurance, and playing real estate like a professional. That's all part of the package, and one of my favorite parts, by the way. But what you need to understand is that each one of these challenges, they're really just opportunities. And as industry veterans, myself, my guests, we're gonna bring battle-hardened knowledge and cutting-edge insights to the table every single week. We've been in it. We've had our neck on the line. We've lost money. We've made money. We've had staff, we've lost staff. We know how it impacts our personal lives. We're gonna help you navigate this entire business. Our goal, sole goal, is to give you the information to reach your goals while you stay true to what's most important to you. And what I know, what's important to you are things like quality, hospitality, innovation, sustainability, staying ahead of the curve, staying up with trends, and of course, providing an unforgettable guest experience. So whether you're a seasoned professional, you're a restaurant entrepreneur, or you're a rookie about to jump into your first business, grab a seat, pour yourself a drink, a cup of coffee, put your AirPods on, grab the dog, go for a walk, hit the treadmill, sit on the couch, whatever you're gonna do, we're gonna drop some serious knowledge on you, and it starts right now. Welcome to Close Monday.
Hey everyone, Avi Gorin, CEO and co-founder of Marquee, and I want to talk about the customer journey for a second. You never know as a restaurant owner where your guests are truly coming from. End of the day, we do see some patterns around two types of search behaviors, direct versus discovery. Direct search, for an example, would be jumping into Google and saying Cali barbecue hours, right? I know where I want to go to eat, but I'm missing a key detail. I need a little bit more information. Discovery, which is the bulk of searches, is barbecue in San Diego, restaurants near me, takeout near me, right? One of the best ways to be found for more discovery searches is leveraging keywords. Reviews are basically free content for you to leverage. Think about keywords that are relevant to your brand, your location, and include as many of those in your review responses as possible, right? How can you go about doing this? Let's set up reports, utilize tools like Google Trends, find out what's going on in your area and how you can help leverage these keywords and review responses, because someone else is doing that, right? If you need some examples, you could do anything from including summer menu, gluten-free menu, leverage specific menu items like the dreaded and beloved spice pumpkin anything in your review responses, right? Let them know what's coming. Let your reviewers know something they should come back and try. And of course, if all of this just seems overwhelming and daunting because you're already running a restaurant and have enough on your plate, just leverage the team at Marquee to do this for you. We handle all of this. We're experts in this space. We can automate this, so it's just another item that you know you are taking care of. Again, that's marquee.com, M-A-R-Q-I-I, M-A-R-Q-I-I.com. Know you. However, we did recently buy M-A-R-Q-U-I-I.com, so if you do misspell it, we got you. You'll still find us. We can still help you.
All right, guys, November 27th, Thanksgiving Monday. Welcome to Close Monday. It has been a while since we did a solo episode, so thanks for, you know, this is a tough day. So I appreciate you taking some time out to listen to the show and support the show. Or maybe this is actually the best day just to put this on, right? Just do some work around the restaurant and get your head back, right? I don't know about you, but I had a couple old fashions and a lot of turkey. And we had porchetta, which, by the way, I don't think I even had a piece of turkey, to be honest with you. The porchetta was so amazing. So shout out to the porchetta for winning Thanksgiving. So today we got a couple, we're going to hit some news stories, some interesting stuff, some fun stuff, some actionable things in the news, and then talk about, I may have touched on this earlier, in an earlier episode, the SNDA clause in your lease and why it's so important right now. So we're going to touch on that, and we're going to keep it short. We're going to keep it tight today, because that's what makes sense on a Thanksgiving Monday. Because to be honest with you, I'm not firing all cylinders either. Just gonna put that out there. Today's just not the day. I actually probably started this show 3 or 4 times. So there's that. So let's get into some industry news, some fun stuff to start with. A restaurant customer leaves a note blasting the waitress for flirting with her husband. So I guess there is a woman, a couple, and they are at a restaurant in the South. And as the waitress is approaching the table and sort of interacting with the table, she calls the husband's sweetheart. Now, if you've ever been to the South, or if you are in the South, that's very common, right? Hey, sweetheart, how are you? It's actually maybe a little bit of an insult if they don't call you sweetheart. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong with that one, but it was their first time in the South. And the woman, when she went to leave the tip, wrote in very crystal clear, did not scribble this. She put a lot of thought into the way she wrote this out. You guys can see this online. It's from the New York Post. The total amount of the check was $32.76. And the tip, she wrote, "Don't call my husband sweetheart." And left a total of $32.76. Look, if you're from the South, you know that this is Southern hospitality. If you're not from the South and your wife is insecure or your significant other is insecure, I could see this being a problem. So yeah, I think my wife would probably have a little bit of a challenge with that. But I think the difference is my wife would definitely let her know in the moment that that was not okay. So I guess just be careful who you call sweetheart in your restaurants. Maybe impacting your staff. So not cool there. I mean, I don't know. It happens here, right? Like it happens in Italian restaurants too. Hey, sweetheart. Hey, honey. I know you can't say that stuff now, man. You really can't, right? You get in trouble. But it's generally coming from a warm place. It's not coming from a bad place. So you do have to be careful. People are out there to, get you if you don't say the right thing. So you didn't hear that from me. But all right, let's move on to something else before I get myself in any more trouble. Report. This is from QSR Magazine that Raising Cane's founder Todd Graves is worth $7.6 billion. Raising Cane's founder Todd Graves is one of the richest men in the restaurant industry and the world for that matter, according to a new report from Bloomberg. Graves owns 90% of the chicken chain. Combined with his dividends, his worth is $7.6 billion. That makes him the wealthiest person in Louisiana and the 307th wealthiest person on earth. Look, I'm just going to throw this out there. One, I don't get the hype with Raising Cane's. I truly don't. I truly do not. It's okay. I didn't get it. And maybe it's a northern thing. I don't think that their chicken tenders were particularly great. I was at the, I probably said this in another episode, but I was at the grand opening in Times Square. I think I had like the third order of chicken tenders from whatever they're called from Raising Cane's ever made in Manhattan. There were three of us standing in line. We were the first ones in the door. So I got, thinking what would be some of the best I've ever had. Not impressed. But apparently I'm one of the only ones. Because according to what I hear about that location, and reason why my man here is, got some cash in his pocket, the Times Square location is doing $10,000 an hour. So that's crazy, crazy volume. It blows my mind. But I guess you can make money in the restaurant business. Bloomberg's list has Graves ranked higher than Chick-fil-A chairman Dan Cathy and his brother Bubba Cathy, each at $7.38 billion. Chicken is where it's at. Walmart heiress Ann Kroenke, another $7.38, and Dallas Mavericks owner and serial investor Mark Cuban, $6.37. Netflix co-founder Reed Hastings, $5.49 billion, and Howard Schultz of Starbucks, $5.2 billion. Bloomberg found that Raising Cane's earned $3.3 billion in sales for its fiscal year ending in June. Total revenue rose from $1.5 billion in 2020 to $3.1 billion in 2022. What? That is completely insane. Let's just say that again. Total revenue from Raising Cane's in 2022 was $1.5 billion. In 2020, sorry. Total revenue in 2020 was $1.5 billion. 2 years later, it was up another $2 billion to $3.1 billion. Now, you know, Raising Cane's opened in 1996 near LSU. It was an assignment in college, and he received the lowest grade in the class when he pitched it. So take that, professor. What the hell do you know? And it says here that to raise money for his first restaurant, he traveled to California to work as a boilermaker and to Alaska to work in salmon fishing. I mean, my man had a vision for chicken fingers. And it is, of course, named after his yellow lab, Cane. And there have been numerous Canes, just to kind of throw that out there, not to make anything morbid. But hey, look. Yeah, what can you say? Billions of dollars, personally worth billions of dollars, and he owns 90% of the company. Would love to have him on the show one day. So if anybody knows how to get a hold of my man, I'll pay you to get him on the show, because that's a story we need to talk about. How he still owns 90% of the company, that many stores, and does that much volume is incredible. Moving on. Industry trends. So this is from Exploding Topics. Five important restaurant industry trends for the next 2 years. So they get kind of heady. I'm not sure if you guys know this, Exploding Topics. Great, great website. And these are pretty insightful, but they get a little bit heady. So I want to just touch on these. So there are trends they have here. They have, let's see, three, four, five. Was it five? Yeah, five trends. So first one, delivery is going to be more important than ever. The global food delivery market is making up an increasingly larger part of the restaurant industry. On the back of widespread closures due to the coronavirus, the online food delivery market grew by an estimated 27% in 2020, and the food delivery space is expected to grow from $151.5 billion by the end of 2021 to $182.3 billion by the end of 2024. Damn. So huge, 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 huge numbers are expected in delivery. Statista predicts that the online food delivery share of the market will be over 20% by 2025. And DoorDash currently is the largest food delivery service in the U.S., capturing 45% of the market. So we don't need to dwell on that. You guys know how important delivery is for your business. And there's a lot that goes into that. But make sure you're paying attention to delivery and how you can optimize your presence online to get more orders. Ghost kitchens, cloud kitchens, dark kitchens, whatever you want to call them. Sole purpose just for delivery. So there you go, on the backs of that. In 2020, there were an estimated 1,500 ghost kitchens in the U.S. This trails China and India, which have over 7,500 and 3,500 ghost kitchens, respectively. Euromonitor predicts that the entire ghost kitchen market will be worth $1 trillion by 2030. Cloud Kitchens is probably the most well-known of the pure ghost kitchen companies. That's, of course, from Uber co-founder CEO Travis Kalanick. And it has already raised $400 million from Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund. Talk about, you know, finding another, you know, some deep pockets. That's the place to go. Kalanick has also reportedly spent up to $130 million buying real estate for Cloud Kitchens. And he is he's out there making it happen. And what can you say? He's out there making business happen for these ghost kitchens. I don't know. I don't know if that's the right move for you guys, independent folks, but it's a certainly seems to be, if you're in the right area, can really take some market share. Three, virtual restaurants are starting to take market share. Estimate 100,000 virtual restaurants in the U.S. At the end of 2020. It's on pace to bring in over $150 million in their first year of operations. In 2020, there were an estimated 100,000 virtual restaurants. There we go. In the U.S. Food service giant Brinker International, the parent company of Chili's, Maggiano's, launched Just Wings in the second half of 2020. Now it has Just Wings, which operates out of over 1,000 Chili's and Maggiano's restaurants, and it's on pace to bring in over $150 million. Man, it sure seems like chicken is the way to go. Wings, fingers, sandwiches, it just seems to be the way to go. Applebee's has been testing its neighborhood wings. There you go, chicken again. Virtual brand in 700 restaurants. The number of in-house diners declined by 50 to 60% in 2022, which led them to make that change. However, creating a virtual brand has been a great way for traditional restaurant brands to capture market share they couldn't get before. So, look, I think if you can, you know the Mr. Beast Burger now, he's kind of in a little bit of trouble, but it just proves that it can be done, right? It just has to be done correctly. I mean, that was obviously outrageous scale, opening something like 2,000 restaurants overnight. Probably not the way to go, but there is an opportunity there. All right, number four, automation offers new avenues for improvement. The global food automation market is predicted to grow at an annual rate of 7% over the next few years. By 2026, it is expected to be worth $28 billion. I mean, we're talking about real numbers here. I mean, these are crazy. And it's easy to get caught up in saying, like, oh, it's tough to make money in this business, but these are the things you have to look for, right? Automation is starting to reach the restaurant business. But as far back as 2018, restaurants like the Boston-backed Spice Kitchen were using robotic chefs to prepare meals efficiently and cheaply. Restaurants like Chili's and Olive Garden are responsible for installing more than 200,000 of these robots and self-pay tablets over the last few years. Applebee's has found that over 70% of their customers have interacted with these devices. I don't know if you guys have been to McDonald's lately, but it looks like a bunch of giant iPhones in their sort of, I don't know, lobby or whatever, the main floor there. I'm into it. I'm not missing out on the hospitality at freaking McDonald's. Let me just order and get out of there. Number five is restaurants seek personalized customer experiences. So basically what that means is the larger groups, and again, I always say this because the larger groups, whatever they're doing, you guys should attempt to do at some level in your business. But they're trying to find ways to personalize the guest experience. Research by PSFK shows that 79% of consumers want personalized menu items based on past data, meaning you don't want to scroll through to try to find that, let's just say, chicken sandwich that you wanted. You want it to be sort of front and center so you can order it quickly. To meet this growing need, restaurant chains like McDonald's are looking to capture customer data. The fast food giant acquired AI and data collection company Dynamic Yield for $300 million in 2019. McDonald's is on top of the tech, man. The technology personalizes the customer's order based on data from past orders. Chipotle is not far behind, of course. So look, at the highest level, the biggest changes are taking place in distribution and customer interactions. So how people are getting their food and how they're interacting with the technology and ultimately how it's impacting the bottom line of the business are what we're talking about this year. As the tech advances, you know, there's going to be even more changes, I think, to the traditional restaurant model. So we will keep our eye on that. Let's talk about this one. This is from CoStar. You guys probably don't know CoStar, but it is it's a commercial real estate website, data, basically like the MLS. You know, MLS is for single family homes or for residential properties. This is for commercial properties. So they cover restaurants every once in a while. And this headline is, restaurant forecast calls for return to stability. Single family rent growth levels off. Jobless claims edge lower. All these things are kind of in one article. You probably didn't need to know the last part, but restaurant forecast calls for return to stability. U.S. restaurants should post sales growth in 2024 that is less racked by pandemic-fueled challenges, including rampant food inflation, supply chain disruptions, according to a forecast report from industry research and consulting firm Technomic. If you guys know Technomic, they are. We had one of their folks on prior to the restaurant show last year. There's always going to be something in the business, but what they're saying here is that the roller coaster of all those, all that wave of shit that you guys got hit with, the labor, the supply chain, all that stuff is going to start leveling out, and you should start getting back to seeing some return to profitability. So that's always a good thing. And let's caution that there may be difficulties in creating organic growth due to the aging U.S. consumer base and slow population. I think that is BS. Okay. I think there's money actually there. I think it's discounting the younger generations behind it. I think you just have to make yourselves more approachable to them, sort of like with the tech that we were talking about earlier. Technomic expects more companies to ramp up technologies that automate kitchen functions, de-emphasize dining rooms, and favor streamlined takeout and drive-through services, especially those geared to food that is ordered and paid for in advance, either online or through mobile apps. There you go. The National Restaurant Association predicted earlier this year that the industry would generate $997 billion in U.S. sales in 2023, up 6.4% from 2022. The trade group said that the industry is on track to add 150,000 jobs annually through 2030. Look, here's what I think. You've been through it, right? We don't need to talk about the pandemic and all that stuff, but you've been through it. So, now start settling into what is. Not what was, what's happening. You know, I think that anxiety is over. I think now is just about figuring out your business, who your customers are, and really what your plans are over the next 5 to 10 years. Because there's obviously changes. Something else is probably brewing in the future. But the reality is it's time to get back to basics and figure out what it means to be in this new sort of tech-driven space for your business. And that means if you're fine dining, there's some tech for you. And if you're a casual QSR, there's obviously some tech opportunities there for you. But a little something for everybody in the tech space, and just the way that your guests will find you and interact with you is going to be super important as we move forward. So what do we got? We got one more. Now, this is, you know, I love BuzzFeed. I'm still talking about that. Avi Gorin, shout out to Marquee, talking about how he nailed what the hell's his name? God dang. He just nailed the favorite restaurant of Jason Sudeikis. That's what it was. Really funny. If you haven't listened to that episode, you should check it out. But posted on the 26th, so yesterday BuzzFeed had an article saying people are sharing the hidden signs that a restaurant will be incredible or totally disappointing before taking a single bite. So there's a bunch of them here. You guys got to check out the article. I'll link it in the show notes. But one of the ones here, and I think I actually shot this over to Avi because I thought he'd find it interesting, that this person says that they will read the online reviews. And if the owner replies with a negative comment or it's like defensive, they're like, forget it. I'm not going. And I get that. That makes sense. Another one is paper menus without any leather binding or plastic covers. If the server doesn't know the ins and outs of the menu, if the hostess is rude, if the floor is clean, this one actually says if the barbecue or the restaurant has like odd hours, that probably is a sign that it's good. Check out the smoker. If you can't see any smoke, don't go in. I dig that. Restrooms clean. We always talk about that. Write off entire experience based on an interaction, but like, you know, servers and hostesses, that definitely, I'm guilty of that as well. I won't go back. Sounds petty, but it's true. And this is also true. Number 8, and this will be the last one. There's, like I said, a bunch more. Hole-in-the-wall restaurants. Their website is usually awful. But sometimes it's the uglier the website, the better the food. I don't know. I mean, we'll have to put that to the test. But let's just agree with that one. Because I think that's actually kind of true. I'm thinking of a few around here. That, you know, I think that's about right. So, all right, that's it. That is it for the industry news. Let's take a break. And all right, that's it for industry news. Let's take a break, and we'll be back talking about the SNDA clause. Hands down, the most embarrassing mistake I made as a restaurant owner was hiring the wrong accountant and trusting that he was doing the right thing. Now, the main thing that he was in charge of was sales tax. And long story short, didn't get paid on time, didn't get paid in full. And our little 40-seat restaurant wound up owing the state of New York $180,000 in sales tax. But that was before Davo. Davo automates your sales tax. It integrates with your POS, so it automatically sets aside the sales tax funds daily. Then, when it comes time to remit these funds to the state, Davo files and pays the sales tax for you on time and in full. You know, it's easier. Take a little bit out every day as opposed to this big chunk due at the end of the month or at the end of the quarter. It would have changed my business, would have changed really my life. Because let's face it, when you're running a restaurant, those bills that are due, they keep you awake at night. Not with Davo. It's all taken care of. So it integrates with your POS. So whether you have Toast, Square, Clover, Lightspeed, SkyTab, whatever you have, Revel, they integrate with them and they're adding new partners every day. So you never have to worry about sales tax again. In the show notes, there's a link where you can schedule a call with the customer success team. Let them know that you heard about Davo on the Close Monday podcast and they'll hook you up. Never worry about sales tax ever again. Keep your eye on what matters, which is running your business day in, day out, and let Davo take care of the sales tax. All right, guys, let's talk about leasing or your lease right now. I'm going to give you a little bit of a background here, a real world application. So there was a restaurant here in locally, and they were kind of killing it. They were a Italian place, and one day they were just closed. Sometimes that happens, right? Like, oh my God, this place is so good. What happened? They just closed. But they had they were really solid. They were plugged into the community and they were super friendly guys. And the press was outrageous. The food was, you know, affordable. It was a little bit different. Here in New York, you can these Italian places can be hit or miss, but they were killing it. Absolutely crushing. And then one day they were just closed. And it was like, what the hell happened? I don't know how much I could probably say about this, but I'm going to try to be respectful of their situation. I mean, I should probably have them on the show to tell the story, but essentially it was this, as I understand it. We're going to have to talk to them to find out. If you know them, let's figure it out. I should just ping them right now while I'm on the podcast right now. They were paying rent every month. They haven't opened that long. I want to say like a year, maybe less. And one day, basically the bank comes calling and says, hi, we need you to leave. And they were like, what? Well, we've been paying our rent on time every month. And they're like, I don't know what to tell you, but the mortgage has been paid here and you have 30 days to get out. Wow. Like, can you imagine? Like, if you're not paying your rent, in the back of your mind, you're kind of like, no, any day now, somebody could come here and kick me out. But you're paying your rent and you're doing everything correctly. And the bank comes and kick you out. What do you do? So I'll have them on the show to talk about what they did. They reopened in the same city, which is really cool. But yeah, closed overnight. And there's one way to be protected from that, and that is the SNDA clause. So I like to break things down very simply because that's the way I understand them. So SNDA clause, you make fun of me if you want, but SNDA stands for subordination, non-disturbance, and internment. These are, I know, big legal words, but let's just break them down. So subordination. Let's just imagine that you're in fifth grade and you have your favorite seat. And the teacher comes in and moves all the seats around. Well, subordination is like agreeing beforehand that if a new teacher comes in, you got to follow the new seating plan. So wherever that old teacher had you, the new teacher came in and moved it around, you still get your same seat. Okay? non-disturbance now says, what if you had an agreement with your current teacher and no matter what, you can keep your seat? Non-disturbance is that. It's a promise from the new teacher, or in real estate, the landlord, that even if big things change, you can stay in your place and your restaurant can stay in its location without being disturbed. And internment is just really kind of like a fancy way of saying you'll respect the new teacher as your old teacher. In real estate, that means when the new landlord comes in, you agree to treat them as your landlord and continue paying them rent just like you did with the old landlord. So in a lease for a restaurant, the SNDA clause is like a set of rules about what happens if the building gets a new owner. In 99% of the cases, that means the bank. It helps protect your restaurant so you can stay where you are and keep doing business, even if things change. So the only challenge is, you guys should pull out your SNDA clause to read it now to see what it says if you have one. Because given the environment right now, let's just hope, you know, in this case here, the landlord was pocketing the money and not paying the mortgage. Let's hope your landlord is paying the mortgage. There's really no real way to find out. But if you're negotiating your lease, here's what you want to do, because again, they're not always easy to get. A couple things here. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so 6 things. Let them know when you're negotiating, look, this SNDA, you know, if it has a mortgage, you're going to be investing some money in the property. You're going to make it more attractive to lenders and any buyers. And it shows that you have a commitment, right, to the property and that they're making a commitment to you and provides security. So make sure the landlord understands that this clause is not just for your benefit, but for the long-term stability of the property. Be proactive. Bring it up early. Don't let this drag on late in the game, because by then everyone's worn down and it gets tougher to get done. This clause in particular, if you bring it up early, they're going to be like, wow, this person knows what they're talking about. So bring it up early and professionally. If you have a good reputation, solid financials, and your concept is unique where you can attract new customers to the property and to other tenants maybe even, use that as leverage. Landlords are more likely to agree to terms if they feel that they're getting a valuable, respectable tenant. If, however, you know, the landlord's still hesitant and, you know, they're struggling to get to a place where this makes sense for them, just consider what you might offer in return. There may be, you know, cut back a little bit of space, take a little bit more space, pay a higher rent, a longer lease term. The key is to make this a win-win situation for both sides. Now, it's quite possible that depending on who your landlord is, especially those new to commercial real estate or ones who've been in the game for a long time, who just are not familiar with the ins and outs of every clause, you got to educate them a little bit, help them understand the implications. Like, hey, look, Mr. and Mrs. Landlord, I'm going to be spending about $500,000 building out this space in your building. I'm very grateful to have that opportunity. But I also want to make sure that I'm not going to be kicked out here. So can we just make sure we have this addressed? My turn's going to reach out to yours and hopefully we can figure this out. That's it. And just be ready to compromise and always use a lawyer. There's not going to be, you're not going to hammer your way through this one. You have to finesse it a little bit. And like I said, you're going to always involve your attorney. This is probably one of the more complex clauses in your lease. And having a broker that can help draft the clause and you know, nail it in the LOI so it's not a huge surprise in the lease is huge. So there you go. Don't lose your restaurant. Make sure you're protected. So pull out your SNDA clause. If you guys have any questions, you can always ping me over on Instagram. You can email me at kyle@4-turns.com. Be happy to review that SNDA clause for you. And that's it. That is it for today's episode. I want to thank you guys for joining me today. I do have a request. I would love for you to leave a review because we are giving out some Close Monday swag. So if you guys do leave a review and you take a picture of it over on Apple Podcasts and tag us and post it on your story, you will get a free Close Monday hat or t-shirt to rock around the holidays and maybe give away for a Christmas present. So that would be cool. All right, that's it. Guys, have a great day. Thank you so much for checking out the show again on Monday. Close Monday, and we'll see you next week. All right, folks, that's another episode of Close Monday in the bag. Look, if you've been listening and you're still here, it's clear that you're someone who's committed to taking their business and their life to the next level. So just don't let this be something that you just listen to and forget about. You got to take action on what you learned today. And look, I don't ask for a lot from you guys. Here's the deal. If you found any value in this episode, please subscribe. Leave me a review. Not for me, but for yourself. You don't want to miss the actionable insights that we've got lined up for future episodes, the guests who have their story to share. And if you think this podcast could change someone else's game, could change their direction of their business, of their restaurant, then understand that your network is your net worth. So if you share that with people, you start to become, you're the one, right? You're the one they're going to go to, and you start to attract the right people into your life. You attract more people into your business, and that's just the way that it goes. Now for some real interaction, like I said, if you screenshot that you are listening to this show, tag the show, tag me, I will send you a Close Monday t-shirt. And if you've got a burning question or topic you want to tackle, like I said, you can always DM or shoot me an email at kyle@4-turns.com. Your question just might be the focus point of a whole new episode. That's it, right? Like that's kind of how this goes. We're always looking for inspiration. So keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your feet on the ground. Stay humble. And until next week, this is Close Monday. And I'll see you soon. Thanks, guys.